won't you be my neighbor?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the July 9th council meeting. For the record, let everybody note that all members are present, and we do have a quorum. We'll call this meeting to order. At this time, we'd like to take a moment of silence, and a couple of things this week. We had the loss of Supervisor Paul DeShera. The last couple of weeks, we've experienced some loss with our firefighters back in Arizona, and just take a moment to moment of silence to reflect. Thank you. Thank you. Dana, would you lead us in the pledge? Thank you, Dana. With that, we'll go into the closed session report. Mr. Schultz.
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's council session, council met in closed session to discuss anticipated litigation. The parties is First American Title Company, First California Bank, and the City of Morro Bay. As to this item, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you for that. And now for council members' announcements, and I'll start off with a couple here. First of all, we had a great 4th of July experience. All the volunteers that participated in that, thank you for your work. I think it was well attended, and I'm sure there's some other comments on that as well. And also to note, at that same day, July 4th, Jack Smith kicked off with his so he's skating across the United States for Alzheimer's, so we wish him luck. And the other announcement we do have a public service announcement for our fire hydrants, and I'll just read through that briefly. Our fire department will be conducting hydrant testings that will occur between the hours of 8:30 a.m. 4:30 p.m. starting Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. The city's hydrant testing should be completed in 30 days. I won't go through all that, but if you have any questions on that, you can contact our fire chief or anybody at the city hall that can refer you to the proper channels. And with that, one other announcement. Ms. Johnson and I attended an America in Bloom event in Arroyo Grande. Arroyo Grande is a member of America in Bloom, and they invited us. They're doing a judging for their city. And they were hosting that. They're going to be judged along with other cities within their population region. And they've been successful in winning the award for America in Bloom, which is it's a national organization. And it's basically a number of volunteers within the city go around improving and enhancing landscaping features, the planting flowers and other things around town. So it was great to have that invitation from Arroyo Grande. And one other announcement for Ms. Luker on RFP.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just information for the general public. The city today released their request for proposal for the property located at 307 Morro Bay Boulevard. The city has leased a corner parcel, which is approximately 2,500 square feet, which includes a small building, which is about 400 square feet, and inside that building is a restroom. The city is looking for a organization to come in and operate some sort of business in the building, as well as operate and maintain the public restroom. Real quickly, the proposals were released today. They're currently on the city website. It's a pretty short and sweet proposal. Our turnaround is fairly quickly. We're having a walkthrough on July 23rd. Any questions are asked to be submitted by July 26th. We will post responses to those questions on our website on August 6th, and the proposals are due August 15th. So again, if you've got questions or if you're interested in this RFP for 307 Morro Bay Boulevard, please check our website or feel free to contact me in my office.
Thank you for that. To my left, George, do you have any announcements?
Yeah, I want to really thanks a lot for that. Great job done on the port.
Christine?
Thank you. I would join the praise of the 4th of July committee. I'm sure you've heard me say that enough, though, so I would just like to say congratulations to the all-volunteer committee for pulling off an incredible day, and also special congratulations to the bike parade committee, and they had, again, over 500 bikers of all ages and abilities and going from from the Rock to Tylands Park. So we also had an incident-free bike parade again, which when you have a lot of little kids is really very important. So two announcements that are school-related. First one is to continue to announce the summer free lunches available for children ages 0 to 18. And they are going 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 11:30 until 12:30 at Del Mar Elementary. And that will continue until August 7. So if you haven't had a chance to come and see the high-quality lunches, please do bring grandchildren or neighbors. Everyone is welcome. And then the second announcement is something that Janet Gould, the Del Mar Elementary School principal, has asked me to make and to celebrate the fact that the California State Preschool that offers preschool to our community on the Del Mar campus is going to be open for the fall. There was a chance that this preschool would be closed, and it's just been decided by the County of San Luis Obispo, who runs the program for the state here, that they are definitely going to keep it open. So this is a high-quality preschool at very affordable rates. So enrollment is going on now. If you're interested for more information, please call Del Mar Elementary. They will direct you to the right folks. And the Del Mar number is 771-1858. So 771-1858 to find out more about the state preschool that will be open on Del Mar's campus this coming fall. Actually, summer. School starts the 22nd of August. And then one last thank you to Chief Knuckles, for our Fire Chief Knuckles, for a very extensive council training on July 2nd. And we were in the city's EOC, or the Emergency Operations Center, that is created in the community center and set up by the Rec and Park staff. So I'd like to give a shout out to them, too. They can set this Emergency Operations Center up on a moment's notice. And I'd like to express my thanks for an excellent training and to share with the community that I have a great deal of confidence, having gone through the training, in the city's disaster readiness. So certainly, hopefully, we don't have to use the EOC, but if we do need to, I would just lend my commendation to the entire city and the staff under the direction of the fire chief and the city manager for when it does happen, they are ready. So I have peace of mind. And that will be all. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy.
First, just to add to what Mayor Arian said about our trip down to check out America in Bloom, it was a wonderful day. The judges were there. We had an opportunity to speak to them at length. Want to be sure everybody understands that America in Bloom is far more than a contest. It is an ongoing chance for the community to work together to improve our environment and the look of our town. So I hope once we get this show on the road, we'll have a lot of support from people. My next announcement, of course, as if I'd let you forget, is that Dahlia Days are coming September 6th and 7th this year. We've postponed it a little bit. We'll be back at the community center. Please, this is a great year for dahlias. They're growing beautifully. So take good care of yours, clip them, and bring them for our community display on Saturday. Also, first announcement that our kickoff dinner for our 50th anniversary celebration for the city of Morro Bay will be January 11th. There will be more details to come. It's going to be an absolutely wonderful event that we hope everybody will want to participate in. So save the date, January 11th, 2014. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Noah.
Yeah, thank you. I also just want to mention and congratulate the Mora Forth group for putting on really a nice family-oriented event. And just stepping up every year, it seems like the organization and the enthusiasm and the professionalism of the event improves. And then also I think I'm noticing more people getting turned on to it and participating in all the different facets, from the bike race to the skate race, which I missed this year, unfortunately. And I did want to mention as well for Mr. Smith and the Push to Remember that they do have an active blog, and they've already updated that. They're into, I think, at least day four now, and taking on some pretty big hills up in Oregon and working east. So if you're interested in following that, I know that Telegram Tribune is carrying that, and then they have on the Push to Remember website entry that played this last weekend twice at the Bay Theater. They were able to raise approximately $6,000 after their cost. So they're on to Maine to show that documentary there at the Maine International Film Festival, and anyone who would like to support the spread of that story, which is an amazing one about a local hero, you can go to their website, which I don't have written down, but if you search Bozzo, Coroscelli, Morro Bay, you'd be able to find it, and there's a trailer and a lot of great information, and you can learn more about what they're doing. And that's my announcements. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't extend the thanks to our PD volunteers during 4th of July. I know they put in a lot of hours as well, so just want to extend the thanks there. Also, for everyone that's attending today, if you have any slides or anything that you need to be put up on the projector, if you could just let the gentleman know there that we can get ahead of the game, and we'll be able to be on cue with that. So that's just one special request there. At this point, we do have. Do we have a? We don't have a business presentation this week. Okay, I'm looking out in the audience. Thanks, Jan. We'll get it next time. And with that, we'll bring it back to public comment. So at this time, public comment for items not on the agenda. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name and welcome.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gary Johnson, a resident of Morro Bay. I'm here to congratulate the residents of Morro Bay for supporting our troops in Afghanistan. Morro Bay is a top city in San Luis Obispo County for supporting our troops. Cy, who is a retired Marine, as you can see there in the picture, is responsible for starting a program sending personal items after hearing from many of our troops in Afghanistan that there's not a PX to purchase such items, especially women that need those special hygiene items. In pictures 2 and 3, as you can see from the several pictures, how grateful the troops are receiving care packages. There's picture number 1, 2, and then 3. Cy, in picture number 4, Cy goes to a lot of events with their setup, selling care packages and or receiving donations. How can you help? Well, you can either, in picture number 5, you can either purchase a box with the troop's name on it and personal items that are in the box ready to be shipped. So for only $14.85, you can take the box directly to the PO, post office, to be mailed and pay the money there. These boxes can be purchased either at the Morro Bay, not purchased at the bank, but you can pick them up at the bank, at the Rabobank or the Bayshore Realty that is located on Morro Bay Boulevard. Or, most importantly, you can purchase these items at the dollar store located in Morro Bay. There is a huge box at the foot of the cashier, and Cy and his wife pick up 700 items at least from these boxes each week. I have lunch with him every Wednesday, and that's when he picks them up. Troops need batteries, beef jerky, hygiene items, gloves, etc. However, chocolate is not a good idea because it is over 100 degrees and it will melt. And also want to, since I do have some time left, and I do want to say thank you for listening and to purchase the troops. You can pick up one of these letters at Robobank or at Bayshore. Hello, just wanted to send a note letting you know we received our care package. Everything sent means so much to us. We don't have a PX here, thanks to our government, so someone is always in the need of something extra. Every time we open a box, we sort it out, put out the items, and it's always a good supply to someone that is in need. And thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing. Can you put picture number 3 back up, please? Because that shows you how many boxes are being received. Okay, that's it.
Thank you for listening. Thanks, Gary.
Okay.
This is public comment. It's time for items to speak to items that are not on the agenda.
Hi, I'm Don Henderson, and I reside with my wife at 620 Fresno Avenue in Morro Bay. Mayor Irons and council members, I'm here because I want to bring your attention to a hazardous intersection at the corner of Marina and Fresno Avenue. On the morning of June 28th, there was a two-car accident, which was seemingly due to poor visibility and the result of speeding. This was not a fender bender. Airbags were not, and this is more like the conditions of the day of the accident. Notice, in addition to the limbs here, this is again Fresno going north, you have a parked vehicle here. And you really have, even a cautious driver has to inch out a Marina to be able to see over in this area. And then one last image, going east on Marina, here's the parked cars at this side, and you can just see how coming up here that this is very much obstructing the view. So I present this to you in hopes that this area might be monitored more closely, and then full consideration might be given to installing either some type of yield sign or stop sign. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Don. Anybody else wish to speak at public comment? This is the time to speak on items not on the agenda. Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. Any comments to public comment remarks? I'll probably lead one off to our public works director if you want to make any comments on the traffic incident and hazard on Marina and Fresno.
I know we've done traffic surveys in that neighborhood, not that particular intersection, but different intersections, and we really do have a low volume count as far as traffic, and it rarely meets the requirements for installation of a traffic control device, a stop sign. That's one of the methods to get a stop sign installed per the municipal code. The second method is the citizen petition process, where citizens can petition council for installation of a stop sign. Stop signs are interesting things to put in because when they're not needed, people get used to no traffic being there and they become violated. Because people are accustomed to no cross traffic, so they'll roll through that stop sign. But there is the process for the stop signs. We'll take a look at that particular intersection, do a traffic count intersection study, and bring that probably forward to council with a memorandum in the near future.
Thank you for that. And Rob, what about line of sight issues for the blind spots on corners and that where the easement area there is blocked for view?
The line of sight is specified in the city's municipal code. There's a 10-foot, maybe 15-foot triangle. I can't remember from memory. Can't remember. I'd look it up again. But needs to be kept clear from vegetation. And then the vehicle code also talks about intersections where you can't see over a certain distance, and it requires basically for you to slow both vehicles to slow to 15 miles an hour at that intersection. There's no presumptive right of way. I've heard from people that the downhill has the right-of-way. The east-west has the right-of-way. No, there's no presumptive right-of-way in those intersections. And just as a rule that I've been taught in traffic engineering, just kind of rule, you can never take right-of-way. You can only yield right-of-way. So don't assume that you have the right-of-way. Assume that you'll need to yield the right-of-way and drive cautiously, drive defensively.
Thanks, Rob. Anybody other questions from council to my left? George?
I had a quick...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Councilmember Lake. I apologize. So, Mr. Levick, when you're going out to do the traffic count on that particular intersection, will you also do automatically check for the any kind of tree limbs or anything?
We'll check site distance there, and if it's the owner's vegetation, we'll send a notice to the owner. If it's city vegetation, we'll do a work order request to our maintenance folks, and we'll get that trimmed. One way or the other, it usually gets trimmed. We give the property owner a certain amount of time to trim it, and if it doesn't get trimmed, our staff does that trimming work, and then it comes along with a bill that we send the property owner.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nancy. Noah.
Yeah, thank you. Just a follow-up to this particular intersection. As you do this survey there, will you be in touch with Mr. Henderson, or should he file something more formal to make sure he's in the loop?
He can email me with his contact information or give me a call or see me if we're going to take a break before we get going. I have a business card here that he can have to get my contact information. So that we know he knows what we're doing there, and we'll also provide a memo to council as an update to this.
Okay, thank you. And then just regarding the petition itself, generally for the public, if someone is interested in anywhere in town, should they just go ahead and call the Public Services Department, and they would learn the process, the formal petition form? Or
we have no formalized process. It's a policy on how we survey the neighborhood, and as we move forward with another item, our neighborhood traffic management program, this should probably be embedded as one of those methods for the neighborhood to be able to use in their toolbox.
Nancy, did you have something?
No, he just...
Okay, all right, good. Great, thanks for your response on that and everybody's input. At this time, we'll move on to consent agenda, and this is also an opportunity to speak to any items on consent. So I'll open up for public comment for anything on our consent agenda. This time is now open to speak on any items on the consent agenda. Seeing no one on public comment for consent, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. And look to my left to see if anybody would like to pull anything on our consent agenda. George? Christine?
Yes, I'd like to just make a clarification on A3. And then I'd also like to pull A11 to make another clarification.
Okay. Nancy? None? Noah?
A7 and 10, please.
A10. And I have A4. Anything else? Okay, so we have A3, A11, A7, A10, and A4 items to be pulled. Could I get a motion to approve all items other than A3, A11, A7, A10, and A4?
So moved.
I have a motion by Ms. Johnson. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. League. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. On to item A3. Ms. Johnson, I'll have some comments on that as well.
Okay, I was thinking, Mayor Irons, I see that you also conferred with the city clerk, Ms. Boucher, today about the minutes from the city council meeting on June 25th, and since it's all on page 8, did you want to begin with your section?
Feel free. Go ahead. I can just cover some of those.
All right. So I was hoping to just add a few words for clarification, and it's on page 8. of the minutes, and I conferred with the tape and the city clerk, and this would be adding a little bit to paragraph 4, the very end of paragraph 4, and the words to add would be in support of the Tylers.
Okay.
And that would be for council consideration.
Okay. And I did the same. I had some other comments. That would be on page 8, paragraph 2, and the language that was that added with the help from Ms. Boucher. Thanks for your help on that today. And that would be that Mayor Irons met with the Tylers as well as the Central Coast Aquarium. An invitation for the Tylers to meet with the Central Coast Aquarium was also extended but never materialized. And that would be added to the minutes. And if there are no disagreements with that and to the accuracy, we can make a motion to approve item A3. Approval. Do we have a motion?
I would move that we amend the movement a little, or the motion a little, move to approve as amended, and then it doesn't have to come back. That's all I was instructed to do by
that would be
the
great.
City clerk. Okay.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I will second. Oh, I can't, probably.
So you know.
I withdraw. I'm just going to turn off the microphone right now.
Okay. So I think we have a motion that basically amends our minutes as stated. And and there's the motion. Do we have a second? I'll look to my left or to my right. Okay. We have a second by Mr. League. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Item A3 is approved. We got through that one. That was fine. Okay. So now we're on to item A11. Excuse me. I'll do A4. I'm kind of jumping around. So item A4. And, I asked to pull that, and I'll go to item A4. Questions I had. I conferred with Mr. Andersby about this one as well. Just some of the language. Eric, I spoke about the clean marinas, and basically if we can just cover some ground here on some of my emails on that, basically that would identify.
Mr. Mayor, do you mind just announcing the title? So,
sure,
no.
Thank you. So item A4, resolution 3813, approving a 19-year lease agreement for the mooring area A1-3 between the City of Morro Bay and the Morro Bay Yacht Club.
Background on the clean marina program. In negotiating with the yacht club on their mooring lease, since their regular lease for their larger site doesn't come up for another 19 years, I wish to get clean marina certification on them for their yacht club operations, and they agreed. We've got some kind of funny remnant language that you pointed out. In negotiating with the yacht club folks, they had concerns that if somehow the clean marina program changes drastically in the future or morphs into something that they can't physically comply with, even though they've complied with the bulk of it. They didn't want to be possibly held in default for their lease, so we changed the language to reflect that they'll make their best efforts to comply with clean marina certification, and if they can't, for reasonable reasons, comply, meaning excessive amounts of money, something physically that they can't do on their site, or something of that nature, then they'll do their best to comply with as many portions of that inspection process as they can. It's a pretty rigorous program of about 10 or 12 different areas that cover the gamut from emergency response to oil cleanup to sewage treatment and control. We've got some remnant language in the lease in the table of contents that under section 13.03, tenant shall maintain clean marina certification, which leads you to believe that tenant shall maintain it. It's mandatory, but in the language itself under that section, we've got tenant shall make all reasonable efforts. So we'll change that language to just clean marina certification and remain that they'll make all reasonable efforts to gain that certification.
So as written for that particular paragraph, per the staff report, it would be your recommendation was towards what's reasonably achievable.
Correct.
And so I guess my question is, if the city is going to make that effort to participate in the clean marinas, that we would participate wholeheartedly in it. And if it becomes so rigorous, if we aren't aware of, how would we be aware of that if we basically have something that says, well, If it becomes too onerous or too difficult, then you know we won't be able to basically achieve all that. So I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the city, yourself, and the previous harbor director wanted to make that commitment to clean marinas, and I just want to ensure that we do make that commitment, and that just by ensuring that there's still that shall doesn't mean that they would be in violation of their lease, but it would just bring it back to council to I guess heighten the awareness of are we achieving the clean marinas. So I kind of feel as though we should just be moving towards, we should be able to maintain the certification for clean marinas, but it seems as though if there was any difficulties, certainly it would come back to council and they wouldn't be in default of their lease. So, I bring that open for council discussion as well and wanted to have your feedback on that as well.
I don't anticipate that would ever occur. After several years of having clean marina certification and being involved with several inspections up and down the state as part of that program through the California Harbor Masters Association, I am a clean marina inspector. They have one of three people from different ports and harbors that do this. And I'm also a mentor for the program to help people. Obviously, in our little area, we've got just a few people. In larger Southern California, you're spreading out all over the place, although I've helped Port San Luis as well. I don't anticipate, unless that program really drastically changes, which it's morphed through the years and it's gotten a little more stringent on some of the requirements, but really it's essentially where it needs to be now, and it's turning into its own self-funding nonprofit organization. I don't anticipate any major changes to it to the point where that would be required, that the yacht club, if they get certification, that they could potentially lose it in the future because of changes in the program.
It's right,
just
right.
The program has evolved over the last 10 to 12 years into a pretty robust program, and it is pretty much, as it's going to be for the foreseeable, future at this point. And I don't anticipate they'd have a problem maintaining that certification.
Okay. Are there any other comments from council on this?
Just briefly, I think you bring up a good point in this conversation. So to me, I would prefer to hold that standard and not leave it either or shall try to comply. Let's hold the standard and know that if it turns out to be prohibitive, that we'd be very, very much needing to bring it back and talk about why, and then help the leaseholder make sure that they're not coming under any sort of violation of the lease.
Yeah, thanks for that. Any other comments, George, Christine? If there's agreement to that, I guess that's where I was going as well, is make the commitment to the clean marinas and program. And since the Morro Bay Yacht Club may be one of the first cases for us, if there's any other difficulties, I'm sure you could bring it
all rocks
right
underneath their lease site. They're pretty robust and generally don't need any sort of inspection or repair. If something's wrong, it gets pretty obvious. Pier and piling and bulkhead wise, we as a city go in approximately every 5 years and do a fairly comprehensive evaluation of our piers and whatnot, and then get on a maintenance schedule as needed. But you're correct in what you pointed out earlier. There is nothing in the lease, and not in any of our leases. This is our boilerplate from all of our leases that has that section in there. Really, this being a mooring area lease, in reality, this mooring area doesn't have a revetment or a seawall, so it really is kind of an NA. It probably should just—it's a remnant of our boilerplate lease that's from our old one that carried over, and I really probably should have taken it out. So it's really not applicable.
Okay, so does that mean you'd be removing that on this suggestion?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, we'd have to renumber the sections.
We do like to keep the standard master lease all the same, even if some of the terms are not applicable to a certain situation, and that way we know when we refer to 6.02, we already know what section that is. If we start renumbering ones because they're removed, it defeats that purpose of trying to get us all our tenants on the same master lease. So I would recommend you leave it in there, and it's just not applicable to this one because they have no seawall or revetment applicable to their lease.
Okay.
And we certainly can, though. Appreciate you bringing that slang. One of the items that maybe when we need to look at to change and put in a time interval period of maybe 5 years for ones that come up.
Okay, thanks. Unless there's no other discussion, I would move that we would approve item A4 as amended for the language on the clean marinas section.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. On to item A7.
Yes, thank you. A7, I pulled A7, which is the major maintenance and repair plan item for the current wastewater treatment plants, and it's a status report item. And I wanted to pull this just to get a little bit more dialogue about my recent tour of the plants, focused on the items within the major maintenance and repair plan for this year. And one of those items that I thought was important to discuss was the work that we're going to be doing at the headworks with screening, trying to remove as much as possible early in the system so that we're reducing impacts of things like floss and, what was the other item that caused? Oh, the sanitary wipes and
Swiffers and the like.
Swiffers, yes.
Shouldn't
please
be flushed
don't flush
in the
these
place.
Down the toilet, everyone. Or I'm going to come over to your house. No, I won't do that. But they do cause a lot of problems and cost the city a lot of money and time in trying to clean them up. The system that we're going to be installing will reduce those impacts by screening them out more effectively at the front end, and will therefore help with the lifespan of the other components as we move forward with this current plant and then eventually building a new one. The reason I wanted to pull this was there was an interesting discussion between myself and President Enns, Director Lloyd, and our staff about when we do have the new water reclamation facility online, we will obviously be installing some form of a lift station, and we've talked about needing to locate that lift station somewhere that makes sense so our existing collection system is still viable and doesn't need to be completely replumbed. We have some options there. The thing that I hadn't thought a lot about that was discussed was potentially maintaining and modifying the existing headworks as well to also remain. And the footprint is fairly small. In my mind, it's something, as we've approached this whole project with the water reclamation facility, the new plant, there are things that we've acknowledged we're going to need to look at very closely and look at a cost-benefit type of analysis about what are our options and what would be the cost short and long term within those options. And I felt it was important for me to bring that up to the rest of the council and the public to be aware of, just because it will be a decision point in discussions with Mr. Livick. He thinks we have a number of different opportunities there to look at either retaining the headworks there and doing modifications to contain it and so on, or other adjustments. So I felt like it was an important thing to make public and put on everyone's radar and know that we will be having that conversation with more information as we get further into the project. And just to give also Mr. Livick any...
Perhaps elevating the entrance to it. I would, if we're going to keep that in the long term, hate to see something that needed to be flood protected by human intervention, somebody installing manual gates like we have at the existing plant. It should be stand on its own and be flood protected if we're going to keep some sort of structure there, which would involve bringing fill into that area and elevating the entrance to it. So it does have a little bit of a hurdle to get past. There may be other options in locating a pump station or to perhaps another location. My favorite location is if and when we build a roundabout at 41 in Main and Highway 1, that pump station go in the middle of that and not as a water feature. That's definitely not going to be a water feature there. No raw sewage as water features.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for that. And I just do want to again say that for anyone that's interested or groups that are interested, touring the existing plant is very enlightening, and I would encourage anyone to contact our public services department or Bruce Keough at the plant to arrange a tour. They're very excited to share the information and time, because it's how we manage and use our sewer lines from our own homes and businesses really has a big impact and translates into either costs or savings on the operations. And so the more we know about how we can limit the impacts there, the better the operations are going to be, and the more affordable they will be. So please do take some time and take the tour of the wastewater treatment plant if you get the chance. So with that, I'll move to approve A7.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We already did. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thanks, Noah. On to item A10.
Yes, I pulled A10, which is, I'm just getting to it here, regarding the contract for the bridge over Morrow Creek, which is the multi-use trail bridge. And a very exciting project. We're looking forward to completing as soon as possible. And I pulled it for a couple of reasons. One, just public information. Looking at the timeline, I really appreciated the language in there recognizing that we really do want to see this through in as short a time as possible. But there is still some very strong public participation components to it to make sure that we're getting the architectural and design components so they look good and they fit with us, and that they're going to actually be it's going to be a project that we can all use and feel proud of when we're done. The one thing I did want to talk a little bit about, I had a chance to speak with Mr. Livick about this, is looking at it, I was under the assumption that there was going to be some more work done on the northern side of the creek, mostly around the pit, and looking at the proposal and understanding the limits of the grant funding that we're receiving to pursue and implement the project, that we're not going to be able to complete things on both the north and the south side to the level that we'd like, and the north side very much will be a work in progress as we find additional funds to make improvements there. But I did want to make sure that we didn't end up with a situation where the south side looks very nice and complete and the north side kind of ends as it deposits itself onto Atascadero Road. And I know that's not going to end up being the situation, but if you read the proposal, it doesn't talk about laying the foundation and anticipating future improvements and being prepared for those improvements on the north side. So I wanted to give Mr. Livick a chance to review maybe some things that we could do to not change this scope too much so that we can still afford it and move forward as quickly as possible, but gives us positions ourselves for those improvements at a later date.
Thank you, Councilman Snuckler. Yes, we did have a chance to talk about this, and this proposal kind of tears off of work that we did with the previous master plan and showing great improvements on the south end and really the bridge and then nothing on the north end. But we will work with our consultant on seeing if without any major changes in the fee as proposed, to see where we can accommodate future improvements to that north end, thinking, you know, just as I've had a chance to think about it, you know, if we were going to
approve A10.
I have a second. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Can we have a little more discussion? Quick. It's too late.
I would have to withdraw at this point. Can we continue on?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, but normally there would be an okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. It's nothing
thanks.
Major. Sure.
Do we have an aye?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion carries 5-0. Pardon me for that. And we'll move on to item A11.
Okay, thank you. That's mine. And I have pulled A11, which is the resolution for adopting the 2013-14 master fee schedule. And I pulled the item for Ms. Slayton, our finance director, to discuss and edit, specifically footnote number 6 that I think first appears on page 7, and to have her discuss current council policy on the development impact fees.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Johnson. Good evening. The master fee schedule, the note in particular that Ms. Christine Johnson is referring to, is a note that was from the prior master fee schedule. And, of course, as you move forward, any notes that don't qualify anymore will be deleted. That note should have been redlined out, because Council took action with their resolution 1413 and 1613 to rescind the old action about stopping the impact fees and starting them back up again. So note number 6 as well as note number 10 will be removed.
Great. Anything else?
Okay. Yeah. Actually, since we did pull it, then I have two quick questions that I reviewed earlier with Harbor Director Endersby. And just for the public, as information, I was hoping he could discuss two items on his master fee schedule, and it would be the first one, City Moorings Private Tackle Monthly. Oh, excuse me, City Moorings Monthly. The current fee is $178, and the increase is to $200. But my question was about the city having lower rates than the market rate, and I just wanted him to take a moment to respond to that.
Yeah, good evening again. Though we have about half a dozen moorings that we own directly as a city and rent out to boat owners. Most of the vast majority of moorings, Morbay Yacht Club has 25, or 19, and 6 guest moorings. Morbay Marina has about 25, and the rest are pretty much privately owned. These moorings are the ones that the city owns. Our rate currently is $178. Current market rate is $230 to $260 a month. I think that's primarily changed just because in the last 5 to 7 years, while our master fee schedule has crept up by CPI generally over the years, the rental rate on the private sector has really increased a lot more, and we haven't kept up with it. So what we're proposing is over a couple, 2, maybe 3 years, more modest increases to catch back up to market rather than one big jump to get us there, just because that becomes a financial burden on our mooring holders and makes it more palatable for them.
Okay, thank you. And then the second question would be for the under the lease site administration and services fee, there's a new fee called the master lease approval fee, and there was no fee there before, and now this fee is $810. So I would like to, for the public and for folks who are going through the lease process, talk a little bit about that new fee.
Yeah, that's the existing two fees on there. Not in, I guess, red. I've got a black and white copy here, but the one item that states requiring City Council approval, that's for currently, that's our current fee for any kind of a lease amendment, master lease approval, things that take more than just an administrative action, and then department approval. Those are for subleases, administrative approval of a sublease. A master lease approval, which is essentially something like, you know, going in with one of our leaseholders, it's coming to the end of the term of their lease, and the process of developing their project, developing a new lease, and going through that whole process is much more time-consuming for both staff and council than just, say, a lease amendment or a sublease approval or a lease assignment and assumption. It's basically creating a lease from scratch and working with them towards the development. So we felt the new fee was in order that really recouped more of our staff cost, and it's, you know, the existing fee of $405 proposed and the new master fee schedule for this year, it takes at least, you know, twice as much time to do a master lease approval than it does to do those other actions. So that's why we're proposing that new fee.
Okay, so historically there had not been a fee there at all.
The fee would have been the same $405 as a lease amendment or okay. Other lesser time-consuming process.
Okay, so it's doing a little bit of cost recovery on that time.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about cost recovery. That's the aim of it, and I think
discussion items. My understanding is that consent items are things that we can more easily approve and not have extensive discussions. Would you like to comment on my comment, please?
Normally, items that we place on the consent calendar should be routine items with very little discussion, but we can't always predict exactly what the council's questions are going to be or how they're going to address the issue. So we'll try to do our best to make sure the consent can move quickly and easily as possible and talk with the mayor about each item and try to predict. But sometimes we can't always predict exactly what happens.
Well, you do meet with Andrew, Ms. Luker, I think, meets with the mayor prior to every meeting, and maybe if that meeting were prior to printing the agenda, you could get, he could find out who needs to have discussion, and those things could go under the discussion agenda. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy. And yes, I think we do have a discussion on what items go on consent and whether or not we'll have thorough discussion on them or not. But tonight we had quite a few on consent and quite a few discussion. Yeah.
It seems to be a pattern that's developing at every meeting. And I don't know, but maybe I'm reading Robert's Rules of Order improperly. But I think as the city attorney just said, those are usually items, should be items that can be handled quickly.
Thank you for that. Okay, seeing that, we have an option for taking a short 5-minute break or continuing on to unfinished business. Do you have any input there from people? Anybody? You want to keep going? Okay, let's go. Item C1. And let me get there. That'd be Mr. Endersby. Consideration of redevelopment projects proposed for lease sites 62 and 62W, Kayak Horizons, and 63 and 64W, Gray's Inn. I think once you get done with this, we have the applicants here. They'll be allowed 10 minutes to, the applicants will be allowed 10 minutes to speak, and then we'll be opening up to public comment. Mr. Endersby.
Thank you, and again, good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight we have for your consideration redevelopment projects proposed for lease site 62-62W, which is commonly known as Kayak Horizons, and 63-64W, quite a mouthful, more easily known as Gray's Inn. These two lease sites are within getting within their 5-year window of expiration. We've got a couple proposals from both leaseholders. A previous council meeting in, I think it was in June, we had Kayak Horizons lease site up for consideration, but as you recall, council wished to defer that until Gray's Inn lease site consideration can come up in case there was any council movement towards combining those sites in any way, shape, or form. So at that point, we didn't consider Kayak Horizons, and now we brought them both back together. Kayak Horizons tenant has proposed a proposal where he's looking for a new 10-year lease in exchange for the lateral access, the boardwalk along the backside, 8-foot sidewalks, removal of an existing one-story storage building, some gangway and dock improvements, again, in exchange for a 10-year lease. No significant fiscal impacts would be expected from that redevelopment. That lease site is on a relatively current and modern lease format. Next door at Gray's Inn, that is an older Pipkin lease, originally entered into 50 years ago, coming up on its 2018 expiration. While the Gray's Inn current tenant hasn't proposed a redevelopment project, she is proposing an assignment and assumption, basically a sale of that lease site to two folks who are proposing a redevelopment project. Their project consists of the lateral access boardwalk, 8-foot sidewalks, enhancing view corridors, and some ADA improvements. That tenant has yet to propose, at least on paper, a lease term. And fiscally, since that is a Pipkin lease that has no percent of gross sales requirements, a new lease would result in increased revenue to the city in percent gross of sales proceeds. Both lease sites, tenants are in good standing. Both lease sites have been operated per the city lease management policy, and at this point staff is requesting which concept to go with in terms of the alternatives. Alternative A being going with the proposals from the leaseholders as proposed. Alternative B, putting both lease sites out for individual RFPs that would come back under individual management. Or alternative C, putting both lease sites out for one RFP that would combine the management under one lease site owner. Although a fair amount of detail would be brought out with both of these proposals if they do move forward, staff is recommending moving forward with Concept A, meaning working with the existing leaseholders with their proposals as they have presented them. I'm happy to answer any questions. And
all right, thanks for that. I'll
make sure that they're a viable tenant. It doesn't just automatically happen just because the leaseholder decides they want to sell to somebody.
And then if at that point it turns out that perhaps it's not going to work out, then the RFP process can move forward at that point as well.
RFP process, or if the leaseholder decided to try and find a different buyer, or if they decide to propose something on their own, they could go with any alternative there.
Okay, no more questions. Thank you.
I have one couple questions for Eric. As you stated, this is a Pipkin lease. So for the Gray's Inn, particularly being a Pipkin lease, this isn't a lease renewal.
Correct. It is not a lease renewal. It would be a new lease. Both of these would be new leases.
Okay.
Even though the Kayak Horizons lease is relatively modern, we'd still be giving it a brand new lease with the modern terms and conditions.
And so just for the process, for Kayak Horizons, we would be considering re-engaging with the current tenant to renew, to activate a new lease with them.
Correct. Existing tenant entering into a new lease.
Okay. And so with the Gray's Inn, a little bit more complex, the existing tenants they don't have a proposal. It's a buyer-sale proposal in conjunction.
Correct. So an assignment and assumption process would have to occur first.
Okay. And so at this point, would there do you have any other kind of history for something like this? Has this been something you've been experienced before, other than just since the current tenant is not wanting to submit a proposal? Is this something we've been through before?
I'll probably defer to Rob. In my experience working as harbor director, the assignment assumption that comes to mind was with Verge's Landing. When Bob Fowler came in, Darby Neal, the previous owner of that landing, had gotten a new lease and started down and got concept approval and started going down Coastal Commission path towards that major redevelopment. At that point, he decided to opt out of owning the lease and sold it to Mr. Fowler, and Mr. Fowler continued on with that. So, yes, I've done that assignment assumption, but not at the end of a lease term as this one has come up.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Do you have a comment?
That was basically what I was going to reiterate. We, many times over the years, have done assignments and assumptions on many different properties, Otter Rock, the Boatyard, but they've never been this far with only this many years. I can't remember ever. Maybe you could, but it's not really a lease site. We did it for the fishermen's fish haul out there. The dock there was recently assigned with only a few years left. So, no, typically it's been much earlier on when assignments occur when there's more than 15, 20 years left.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we could turn it over. We're going to have the applicants come up and speak first. Let's start with the Kayak Horizons applicant, and then following that, we'll start with the Gray's Inn applicant, and then we'll take public comment.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Eric pretty much spelled it out, what we're proposing.
Mr. Kruger, you just state your name for the record, please.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Dennis Kruger.
Thanks.
Live here in Moore Bay. Been a leaseholder down there since 2004. Love what we do. And we would like to continue doing that. My background was construction before I got involved in this, so looking over the waterfront master plan, totally understand what it is the city's trying to accomplish with their waterfront plan, with your setbacks, your view corridors, your walkways, and I'm prepared to give that to you. I know one of your big concerns is a bunch of different leaseholders in a small area trying to get them to work together. I have met with proposed new leaseholders for Gray's Inn with their engineer, with their architect. I've met with the builders of the new project down next to the aquarium. I've got a very clear picture of what needs to be done down there to kind of have that continuation. There's a precedent that's been set with the elevation that was allowed for the property next to the aquarium. ADA requirements and stuff like that are going to have to be addressed. Everybody's going to have to work together. My take on the whole thing is that's exactly what everybody's wanting to do. The new people that I've talked to that are interested in the Gray's Inn are trying to get going and hit the road running on the whole thing. I think it's very doable. And I think the end project could be very nice. I think that you could end up with a deal that looks really nice down along the waterfront and also give the properties the privacy that they need. And that's my plan.
The mandated improvements that you need on the property for the city. And I have Jean Dowdy here who came over to work with our plans. So I wanted to introduce myself, answer questions for you. My proposal is very general, but it's because we're a little bit in the dark about some of the specifics that you need at this moment, and we're willing to put those together as we progress. So do you have any questions for me?
Seeing none.
How many rooms are available at the Gray's Inn, and do you plan to enlarge that number?
It has three units, and there is the possibility for a fourth, which we talked to Jean about. It also has the gallery in the front as retail space. You're welcome.
Bill?
Yes, I guess it's a loaded question that I think is important to for you to review is some of the concepts. Mr. Kruger alluded to them as well, but you know, your two separate proposals. So you could talk about some of the things that you see it with a proposal that you'd work out with the city if we go that direction about improvements. What, you know, we're talking about the Harbor Walk and so on. If you could review some of those things that you do have, so the public's aware of them, and just make sure that some of your vision is, you know, you have a tentative vision, and then we'd be working out details if we go in that direction.
Correct. Well, first of all, we wanted to address the walkway, the pedestrian walkway on the waterfront side, and on page 5 of 6, you can see the plans that Mr. Dowdy did for us. He's connected the walkway from Abamani's site all the way over to the Kayak Horizons, and you can see that there. If you start with A, it begins with the pedestrian walkway. The sidewalk on the street side. Next, you'll see the enhancing the view corridor, which is on let's see, it would be the B section, going from the street to the waterfront walkway. The existing building, the second story, already has the viewing shed, and the 8 to 10 pedestrian lateral access boardwalk is also addressed on the D section of the site plan. And let's see, the boardwalk, it states it's reduced here to 5 feet, but Jean Dowdy is here to address any questions you might have for that. And then there's ongoing maintenance of the slips and improving the ADA compliances. One of the things that Jean had talked to me about was with regards to the ADA would be adjusting one of the units for the wheelchair access to one of the restrooms there. It only has the one unit on the second floor, so we possibly wouldn't need the elevator. He would check on the ADA requirements for that should we add the fourth unit. And I think, again, he could probably answer questions for that.
Okay, thank you for that. And my last question is your intent to negotiate a longer-term extension or longer-term new lease? Should we go forward? Or are you thinking short-term, long-term?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, initially we were going to take over Josie's last 5 years, and then with the additions of the improvements, we would like to see an extension 15 to 20 years with the addition of her five. However, speaking with Eric, he said there were other options into moving right ahead and taking over, rewriting the new lease and giving up the Pipkin lease and going into a new city lease. That's an option. It did require the, I guess, the appraisal of the property, which we didn't get those figures on. So that would be something we would need to know to address that as well. But yes, we do. We are looking at a long-term lease past Josie's 5 years.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think I would be interested to hear about. I'm sorry.
Boy, am I having problems here? I'm sorry, folks. I see you have like three parking places there. Is that it for your three rooms?
Yes, and then
Josie, was it three? The city, three additional.
So we have three parking places on site.
Minimum of 8 feet and probably 10 feet on the remaining area. And the other comment I would make, if there were any questions, would be the structure is only about 20 years old. So it's a fairly new structure. We've set back the second story to allow view shed corridors. And to exactly knock the building down for a new lease and then start over again, you're going to end up with basically the same structure. So I don't think there's any need to knock down the building and start over again. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Just one quick question. So you don't have a recent appraisal within the last decade?
No, I don't.
Okay. So thank you. That's all.
So I have one just follow-up question for you, Jane, on the 5 foot. So it was noted in here that there is a 5 foot boardwalk, but per your plan, you're saying it would extend to 8, possibly 10.
Yes. Okay. The lease site to the north has only several spots that are only 5 feet wide, but okay. We're proposing no less than 8 foot.
Okay, great. Thanks. Any other questions? Thanks for coming up.
Thanks, Jane.
I think that concludes our questions.
Okay.
We'll open it up to public comment at this point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll open it up to public comment. Those of you who would like to speak on any one of these lease site issues, please come forward now. Welcome. Please state your name.
Keith Swanson from the community to the south. It's all torn up. I'm the son-in-law of Josie Gray, and I just want to convey to the staff and appreciate their patience in this process because it was new to Josie. She was also going through the process of losing her husband, and there's just some misunderstanding and misled letters. So, you know, I appreciate that the city's been working with us to get this back in line, and also talking with Rob about, you know, the options that she has. And what's afforded this is to be able, you know, unfortunately, the people that are interested in have a gray hyphenated lit name, so they can continue with that, which is great. And, you know, Gray's Inn has had a great reputation in this community and has always maintained it, and Bob's always had a vision of, you know, keeping this place unique and has actually been sort of innovator, because now there's many other hotels now on the Embarcadero that are copying his concept. I just like the board to, you know, keep this open. I know it's kind of unique because there's a Pipkin lease, and it's just affords Josie her options as well. And so if for some reason they don't work out, certainly to leave this open so that perhaps they can have a proposal, perhaps extending the lease or whatever they choose to do. But, you know, I feel pretty confident in the interest of the applicant that they're going to move forward. They have a dedication just like Bob and Josie did when they took over this place when it was pretty much in shambles, and they built this place up to a very, you know, viable business. And I just appreciate the city, you know, being able to listen and be able to give them a chance to continue on with the Gray's Inn. Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment still open. Anyone who would like to speak on these items? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. George, would you like to start off with any items for discussion? Before we get started, I think one of the questions we need to ask are, we have some alternatives here, and whether or not we want to start discussion with sending this out to RFP to combine the sites, whether we want to decide that we want to keep them as separate sites, and we might want to, and then if we're going to decide on separate sites, then we should maybe start discussing one site at a time. So I think that might be a one way to approach this. So would we have any conversation on whether or not we should consider these two sites as one site altogether? Do you have any comments on that, Nancy?
I would like to see us send this out to RFP with the option for combining the sites. I think we have a very highly underutilized piece of property right in the heart of the Embarcadero. And I'll save the rest of my comments until we decide what we're going to do.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not in favor of combining the sites. I did request previously when Kayak Horizons was on the agenda to postpone, because I felt it was important for us to look at them in context with each other, because they're...
And they should have a right to be able to bring us a plan. And I like the idea of keeping smaller lease sites down there. Like I said before, we've seen the problems we've had with very large lease sites, and I just like the uniqueness. I like to keep Morro Bay unique. We've got enough of these big spread things, like let's say Marina Square or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with Marina Square, but one's enough. And this, the Gray's Inn has got a long history of people been coming there for years, and I think it'd be a shame to really take this. Like tear it down and rebuild it and things like this. I really think that this is a unique, it's almost like historical building here, even though it's not really that old, but it's just something special. And I like to see these new people come in and be able to do the development there they want to do, the boardwalk and et cetera. And I'm for just keeping these separate. And good luck with this. I hope you get it.
Christine?
Thank you. I'm also in agreement of keeping them two individual lease sites. I also should say, ex parte, I had a phone conversation today with Dennis Kruger, and I also had a phone conversation with Tamara Gray Bastin about their applications, and I appreciate the time they took to speak to me. Before we moved into something different, I would say that two unique sites is what we have there. I'm in favor of continuing that. And I'm also impressed by the vision of both applicants for the future, and impressed by the time they took to research what the city is hoping to do with the waterfront master plan, et cetera. So at this point, I will go along with George and Noah on two separate sites.
Thank you. I too would be in agreement to keep the sites separately at this time. That would be my perspective on that. For many of the reasons that's been stated, I think we've got a couple sites that are fairly sound, and I think that's where I would be moving on this. So as far as further discussion, it seems as though we can move forward by saying we have two separate sites to deal with tonight, and at that point we might want to bring it back and start with Kayak Horizons and then discuss how we want to deal with an RFP or continue on with the proposal we have tonight, considering we have the majority of council that are in agreement with the keeping the site separate. So with that, let's roll into Kayak Horizons as far as discussing which way do we want to go as far as RFP, continuing with the proposal that we have. And I'll look to my left. If George, you want to start off?
Well, I guess I've already said what I was going to say about that. Like I say, I sympathize with people who come in and purchase property and lease sites like that, and then the short time they're there, they just barely get their money back if they even do that. So I'm very much against sending ESFA out. I would like to have them have a chance to bring a proposal to the city and have a chance to do the things to bring up, like the boardwalks and this, whatever they might have to do down there. So I want to give these people a chance to do it.
Christine?
I'm in agreement, and I'm also impressed with the thoughtful proposal. For it's one of our smaller lease sites, I believe, and it certainly has its lion's share of work done in anticipation of tonight. And I do also appreciate Mr. Kruger coming back. This was scheduled a few weeks ago, and I appreciate your patience in coming back for tonight. Another thing to point out is, after a conversation with Mr. Kruger, he's been very proactive in meeting with neighbors down on the Embarcadero, and especially talking to folks under construction right now to get an estimate and an idea of what the costs are to do some of the walkway improvements on the ocean, on the bay side and the street side. So I think that shows a very motivated leaseholder and somebody who's really interested in maintaining the site. I think there will be visual improvements with the removal of a shed, and I think for what you can do at that site, they're certainly taking that on. So I would be very comfortable moving forward with Mr. Kruger.
Nancy.
I think of the two proposals we heard this evening, Kayak Horizons is by far the better proposal. I think he needs to do some more work on it, but we will leave that to Eric to take care of. He needs to do something about the second floor. I know he's tried to lease it to a realtor and then to an accountant, and those are uses that are not permitted on the Embarcadero, and I hope he takes this into consideration as he moves forward with his proposal.
And talked, and thanks for taking the time to continue your project to this meeting, so thanks for that. The concerns I have on the project, I think, Nancy, you spoke to them as well. I think by maximizing the use of this property, the second floor has been mentioned as well. I think overall the proposal that we see, all the items that have been addressed as far as the view corridor, everything that's laid out on our master waterfront plan, but the second floor is kind of an issue on whether or not we're maximizing the use of our lease properties. The other one I would suggest also is the two parking spaces there. Those aren't necessarily utilized, but is there something that we can do in that area? And if not, could it become some sort of public benefit? So I'm at this point, I understand we've got a fairly good proposal, but I'm kind of hesitant because I think we could probably see something a little bit more on this proposal myself. Obviously, I can tell we have three on council that are in favor of moving forward by not sending this out to RFP, but I think if the majority is in favor of working with Mr. Kruger on this, I would like to send the message that through these negotiations that we see something to where this lease site is maximized, be it the second floor or an empty, couple of parking spaces that could probably be utilized for a better use. So that's my input, because I know we've got, the majority that want to keep this negotiation going on with Mr. Kruger. So, I appreciate your proposal. Those are my comments, and I would, hope that those comments would be taken to Mr. Endersby on how we negotiate this forward. So with that, it seems like we have a majority to close on this project here.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes, please.
You're talking about the second floor. Historically, in Morro Bay, it's been a real problem, and you can look right down the line about visitors things being put on the second floor in this town, and I can sympathize with him trying to do something, but there's a lot of things that just won't work on the second floor, and maybe we should start to look at this, that maybe we could have a real estate officer. I'm not saying a real estate office, but something, office, maybe office building of some sort, because it is, this is very difficult.
You bring up a good point.
Yeah, it's It's you can look at the trouble Marina Squares had, mm-hmm. and Rose's Landing, you know. Okay.
All right. So thanks. Thanks for that. With that, should we have a motion for the Kayak Horizons lease site?
Yeah, just briefly, though, I before we make a motion, I do think it's important for us to have some form of consensus or comment to make sure that we are either in support of the full visitor serving concept going forward, so Mr. Kruger is clear on which direction we're going. I understand where Mr. Leek's coming from and the challenges with the second floor, particularly one this size, but I think there are some options. I had talked to Mr. Kruger today. I'm confident that he has some ideas about what could work up there in the visitor serving commercial, so my personal feeling is that we need to remain strong there and not start to remove the compliance with the visitor serving component there on the first or second floor. So personally, I want to remain strong with that, and I would expect that that would be part of the proposal.
I Nancy? Totally agree with Noah, and I think it has to be an important part of the proposal. I mean, just thinking about it right now, there are a lot of different things he could do, and I'm sure he has even more and better ideas. So that I think it's terribly important that we keep the visitor serving or knock off the second floor. I don't know.
Okay. So I think Mr. Andersby, so do we have some guidance with a conversation as far as enhanced proposal on this, enhanced work on this particular proposal as far as the second floor and other features there?
Yes, absolutely. And as I spoke earlier, you know, this is just the preliminary concept. We would be vetting sure. those as the process moves forward.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for that. All right. With that, we could take a motion.
Sure. I will move to accept the preliminary leaseholder proposal from lease site 62/62W, Kayak Horizons, Mr. Kruger, and that we direct staff and Mr. Kruger to work forward on a in-depth proposal and bring it back for council approval.
Second.
We have a motion by Noah and a second by George. Any more discussion?
Let's make sure that motion's solid.
The actual end of that, we're coming back for council approval. I'll actually go to Planning Commission first.
Oh,
so
yes.
It'll go through that concept plan approval.
Right.
Improving some of the ADA access and improving some of the view corridors. Mr. Dowdy brings up a good point, and I'm glad he did. On a lease site such as this that is at the point of lease renewal, but it's not a bulldozer job, do you just tear it down for the sake of spending $250,000, $300,000, $500,000? No, I don't think you do, and I think that's what we're grappling with, trying to figure out what sort of project would be viably moving forward. There's other lease terms and conditions that we can throw into play in terms of percent gross of sale or minimum rent that could reflect on a years of term as well.
Thank you for bringing up the percent gross of sale. I don't favor tearing the place down. It's a cute little place. The problem is that it's really little. And for what we're getting for a lease site, if there were some way they could, without tearing it down, redesign the building so that maybe they had 10 rooms or something that would produce more TOT that is going to utilize this piece of property a lot more efficiently. I mean, that, to me, should probably be part of the their proposal.
Thanks, Nancy. So whether or not we decide to go out to RFP on this, you've made your suggestions on whether or not this is an acceptable proposal. So at this point, Nancy brought up a good point on whether or not the current proposal we have is acceptable to what direction council would want to go. So let's continue on with that conversation, see where we go, and then come back and discuss whether or not whether we're in favor of the current proposal, and then whether or not we want to continue with this purchase lease. Noah, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I do. I actually have thought a lot about this, and I think the basic foundation of the proposal is good. They're looking to satisfy all the standards that we have for improvements and what we'd like to see when leases come up as far as the boardwalk side, the Embarcadero side, view sheds, and so on. I think Nancy's point regarding productivity is important, and in talking with Ex Parte, I did get a chance to speak with them as well today over the phone, and they have some ideas that they're already working on. I'm not sure that the site would be compatible to expansion of rooms to the 10 that Ms. Johnson, you suggested. I understand they're looking at a fourth room and very much looking at doing some improvements to the room itself as much as necessary. So I think they're covering all the bases. I'm willing to go forward with them, knowing that if there was some failure in the details as they're negotiated with the Harbor Department and our staff, that we could bring it back and then go out for an RFP if necessary. I have a feeling that with the legwork that they've put in with the neighbors and the long-term time that they've spent coming to Morro Bay and appreciating that area and their historical appreciation for who Morro Bay is and what's brought them here, that we're going to see a proposal that's really strong ultimately, given a little more time working with our staff. So I'm comfortable moving forward, and I think we're going to see a good project.
George?
I agree with Noel completely. I think we should just move on with this and let these people come back with some new development ideas they have. The lease site isn't that large, and even if they could keep their rooms, I really never been in one of those rooms. I don't know how big they are, but I think that with a little improvements down there and stuff, I think they'll be able to demand a lot more money than they have in the past as far as rentals goes, and that is going to bring more revenue into good old Morro Bay coffers. So I agree. Let's just let them have a chat here.
Christine? Let's keep going here for a minute. Let's let her finish. Christine?
Okay. Thank you very much. I would continue to echo many sentiments of Councilmember League. I think that as far as my understanding has been, and this is just anecdotal, is that it seems that Gray's Inn is almost always full. It is such a small site, and I think it's full a lot of the time by the Bastion family, perhaps. It seems like they've been coming quite often. So we should really thank them for all the TOT and sales tax they've brought in for the last 20 years of visiting Morro Bay. I also think that I want to recognize that the Bastions are wading into new waters as entrepreneurs, and it is not a simple process with the city that it's not possible at this point, or that we as a city would like to entertain other options, and there's no problem for us to come back and to issue an RFP at that point. So that's why I feel comfortable at this point moving forward with this process to see if, you know, there's been no sale yet, so we'd have to allow that process to happen to see if that would be happening. And final comment again, just like I mentioned with Mr. Kruger, I've been really impressed with the outreach and the proactivity of the potential new owners for reaching out to the neighbors, especially, again, neighbors in construction, neighbors who have recently done these kinds of improvements, and I think it would be nice to have that kind of business environment there. So I'm comfortable moving forward this evening with their proposal, with the idea that it would come back more robust.
Thank you for that. Before I move on to Noel, I'll make my comments. Considering the site and the current proposal we have, it's kind of a general proposal. And when I looked at this, I'm looking at it from a little different perspective from some of my colleagues on the council here. And I guess instinctively I thought, why are we considering the whole lease purchase thing when the current leaseholder doesn't want to continue on with the lease in itself? And I thought at this point, well, why aren't we just going out to RFP? You know, why aren't we considering other options to see what can happen? I think Nancy, you brought up some points on whether or not are we maximizing that. We spoke to the same thing about the Kayak Horizons. I did, at least. And those are the things we need to consider as a council on whether or not we're taking care of our fiduciary responsibility to those lease sites. So, I still obviously there is, just like before, there is that majority of which way we're going on this, but I still think on whether or not this should be considered to go out to RFP. I was pleased with the overall proposal. I think a lot of the items that were, the way the proposal was laid out, addressing all the key points that all the lease sites are required to do and move forward on. It's already, great to see that, neighbors are already starting to work together. So, that's a positive thing. But there's the hesitancy overall for me to go forward on this without sending it out to RFP. But considering some of my colleagues and the comments, we do have the opportunity, if this comes back to us, to send it out to RFP if it doesn't meet some of the requirements and some of the performance requirements that we would need. So with that, I will go along with my colleagues on council and agree to go forward on this. And Noah, I think you were waving towards me to make some other comments.
I just had another comment, but it looks like the city attorney would like to make a comment as well.
Just on procedurally, I want to make certain that council's aware, and also the current owners and possibly the new owners, is that our lease management policy specifically states that we don't negotiate new leases with potential buyers. It specifically states that in the policy that the assignment has to come first. We certainly are here to answer any preliminary questions and help out any potential buyers, but we don't negotiate first a whole lease. The reason being is we can negotiate a whole lease and then they don't get a deal done with the current owners, and therefore we've wasted quite a bit of time and energy. And so the first procedure that would happen is if the council does follow through with not going out for an RFP, is that we would wait for that assignment and assumption to be done. That would come forward to you, and then once that's done, then the new owners could file their project next door at the planning department and go through that first concept plan. And once that concept plan is done or getting close to it, that's when we start negotiating the lease terms. So I just wanted to make clear on that we wouldn't begin negotiating a new lease yet. And if, in fact, supposing if the new owner did come through and the concept plan wasn't approved by council, then there wouldn't be any lease, and then you could go out for an RFP at that time still. So there's no guarantee that a new lease will be reached with the potential buyer. The hope is that the concept plan is approved and a new lease is done that not only the city likes and also the potential buyer does.
So just for clarification, just to be clear, because I think what you're pointing out is a procedure for us, and basically the assignment has to be taken first. In other words, we have to agree to a sale of this, which would be a new assignment. Okay. George, you had some comments?
I mean, that's how about if these people purchase this property, and what protects them after that? I mean, how about if you don't give them a lease? Why would they even think about purchasing something?
Leaseholder or the applicant a chance to make any comments regarding that particular risk and their perspective on it? I don't know if that would help. It is what it is.
It is. I have a couple comments as well, though, before we proceed. I don't know how many comments we've got going back and forth, but let me, before we do that, pardon me. So we came here tonight basically with two lease sites under this one staff report. We've got through the Kayak Horizons because there was no assignment, right? We went ahead and did that. So now procedurally, even though the way we were looking at this before, I guess maybe that it was brought this way because we had the option to send these out to RFP without even reviewing whether or not we were going to move forward on an assignment. Are we up to speed there so far?
Correct.
Okay.
And I mean, it is a risk. It's a risk that's been transferred to the tenant. But I will also say, in the 16 years I've been here, and if you could go back even further, I don't think there's only one time in that whole time where we have not been able to reach a concept plan that both the applicant and the city agreed on, and we reached
lease terms. So there's only been one in every single lease we've done. We've been able to work out the differences between the applicant and the city on all those issues. So although there is a risk and it's been transferred to the tenant, it's also, we're not difficult to figure out what we need to be done, and the Coastal Commission weighs in on what needs to be accomplished through these projects. And that one was the conference center, where although they got concept plan approval, we were never able to reach terms on a lease.
Nancy? Noah?
Yeah, so I'm feeling inspired to try to move this forward, in part because I like the idea of updating from the Pipkin lease as soon as possible. And I think we see a path towards that with the conceptual proposal that we see here tonight. So one of the thoughts I just had was, well, going out for an RFP ramps up the risk that would be involved with the negotiations for the assignment and may make that more complicated. I'm wondering if we could direct them to go forward with the assignment and to, if that's successful, then develop the proposal further with our staff over 6 to 9 months, and if that doesn't work, then go for the RFP if we don't reach something that's going to be satisfactory or not. I don't know if that's playing too soft or not, but I see everything I've seen so far gives me the feeling that they're going to actually be successful with this and have a good idea about what they're getting into and about what they can provide as far as improvements and so on. So,
Nancy?
Oh, boy. Now I'm leaning maybe with you back towards not towards going out for an RFP on this, because I think if we approve a proposal tonight, it would be, no, we cannot approve a proposal.
Only assignment.
We can't even approve an assignment.
No,
what can
you're
just, we do?
You're providing us direction on whether you want to let the current owner and the buyer to complete their assignment, and then you'll allow them time to file their application next door at the planning department and move forward with their project and not go out for an RFP at this time until that's concluded. That's one direction, and the other direction is to go out for an RFP now and not wait for any assignment or assumption or any concept that would be proposed by this current applicant.
Okay, so our choices are to go out for an RFP or to recommend
to work with, to direct staff to
direct staff
work with them for an assignment.
For an assignment. Oh, dear. Okay, well,
Can I tell an experience that I had? Well, I had like the same situation they had, but I had the lease site, but I was on a Pipkin lease, and I was approached and said, 5 years, you got 5 years on your lease. If you don't come off your Pipkin lease now, we're not going to give you a new lease. We're going to put it out for an RFP. I had to, 5 years before my lease was up, I had to begin to, I had to get out of the Pipkin lease and start with a city lease.
And that's basically where we are with
they said if I would do that, they would give me the lease.
And that's basically the issue that's in front of you to
work with the applicant. And just a minute, I'll ask my colleagues if we want to open it back up for public comment to hear that. To direct staff to proceed with an assignment on this lease site. And we've got indication from the applicant to speak, and that would, you know, would everybody allow the applicant to come back and speak? Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Are you okay with that? Sir, if you'd come back up. At this point, this does open it up for public comment. So when we go through this process.
Well, Keith Swanson again. I'm actually speaking on behalf of Josie.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had 10-minute presentations, but I'm not. The issue is what we're trying to do is it's a unique situation is that we have an interested party to purchase the business. And we want to preserve this time in order for the process of assignment of the lease as the first part of this. But in order for them to consider taking their risk, they want to make sure that they're going to be on board with the city to go forward. So that's why they presented their concept. It's sort of awkward because they aren't actually the leaseholder, but they're at least they're interested in taking over that lease and assuming the lease for its time and then to extend that out from that point forward, which they've expressed to you. So you got to keep that in mind. I know it's a little awkward because the intent is to assign this lease or perhaps with negotiations at that stage. And they have to also determine what the value of this property is when that occurs. But like Mr. League stated, is that without that happening, it becomes worthless. And so she's trying to be able to work this out. So, and it's also an option that you know my wife and I have also considered as taking over the business because it's just been in the family for so long. But this seems like the most logical way to go, and I'm just asking council that that's, you know, what the intent of all the parties are is to preserve this time in order for the process to go through and so that then they can go ahead and move forward with what we need to do and so that they can go ahead and complete their ideas.
Thanks for the clarification. So coming back to council, basically what I understand that basically the applicant is willing to take on the risk. So if we were to direct staff to go move forward to assign to make the assignment, then there's no guarantee that the proposal will come back. They will still have to negotiate for a proposal and whether or not we'd want to move forward on that. And the applicant stated they're willing to take that risk. So with that, I think that answers some of the questions and doubts for you, George, as well. So there we go. I'll start off here. It's still instinctively, I'm still think as though the way to go is to go out for an RFP on this. I understand what you're saying, George. I understand what your position is on that. But I was swayed before with my colleagues up here. So I'd look for you to make your comments on that and see where we go. Do you have any comments, George or Christine?
Well, here we start repeating ourselves. You know, how many times are we going to say it? If these people are willing to buy this with a certain amount of risk, the risk, I think, is very, very minimum. I agree with Rob that the chances are that a very little small chance that they will not get a new lease with the city. And because, you know, we're not heartless people up here. We're gonna work with them the best we can. So I want these people to have a shot at it. I don't want to go up for RFP. That's for sure.
Christine?
I do understand the desire to go out for an RFP, and I think that sometimes when these leases have come forward at this early stage, it's easy to say, well, why doesn't everything just go out for RFP? Because it seems like, let's see what the market will bear and what if there are other interests out there. What makes this case different for me is the amount of time that the current leaseholder, who no longer wants to be in the business at all, has found a potential purchaser. And that potential purchaser, to me, and based on what they've proposed, looks like it has the vision of something that if we were starting from scratch, we might want on the Embarcadero. A small, very tiny, really, inn, which is a very different experience than even a 15 or 20 room hotel down there, as well as just the closeness that it has to the bay and the configuration that it is now. It seems like a very small impact to the environment.
I wasn't as clear as I see it from the current leaseholders and the potential new leaseholders after the assignment. I would definitely be going towards the RFP, but I see them working in good faith with the neighbors, and their compatibility with the vision for the site and the history of the site and the future of the site, to me, seems like a very good fit, and that's a good thing for us because we could see a fairly quick transition to the next era of the site. So I'm looking towards the assignments, working that out, and then working with the new leaseholders for a new lease and going that route.
Okay. So, Mr. Schultz, so do you need a motion to make this assignment, or do you just need a direction?
What was it? And if I can throw in here, we're not approving an assignment and assumption. That needs to come from the leaseholder and the prospective buyer in an application process that we do bring forward to you. So we're not approving an assignment and assumption. They could, I hope not, and I'm just saying this for sake of argument, their deal could fall through and they may not get to us with an assignment and assumption. I'm assuming it's not and they will get to that point, but we'll bring that forward at a future date.
Okay.
If the council so wants to move forward in that direction. But
so at this point there's no motion, it's just a formal direction?
I think the motion is not to go out for an RFP at this time and work with the current owner and potential buyer on the assignment and concept plan.
Okay. I think that at this point, my previous statements as going out to RFP, just for clarification for you all as the tenants and everything, I think the proposal that we have from the proposed assignees or the new leaseholders, if that would be the case. I think that the concept of that, like I said earlier, I think you hit on all the items that would be, desirable for upholding a new lease and moving forward on a new project, a site that's been actually well cared for overall for the city. So with that, once again, I think the direction we're going on this is to make a motion to not approve going out to RFP. And should I hear that motion from someone?
I would move that we direct staff to proceed with the assignment recommendations and at this point not go out for an RFP.
I'll second it.
We have a motion from Ms. Johnson, a second from George. Any discussion? Just for sake of discussion, I appreciate all the conversation, and I'll support your vote on this. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks for all the work on that. Moving along to item D1, Mr. Levick, this is Resolution 3913 authorizing city staff to submit a grant application for grant funds for the local coastal program Sea Level Rise Adaptation Grant to update the local coastal plan under authority of the Ocean Protection Council and to review the city work plan for the general plan and LCP update. At this time, I can see that we have Ms. Wold and our Mr. Jason, pardon me. I want to silent the J for some reason, but thank you for that.
And that was a long enough title to let them get
exactly
up here.
Exactly, thank
and,
you.
Get ready for this presentation. In a nutshell, what this proposal is to take advantage of some state funding to move our general plan LCP along in the update process. This grant does not, will not meet all of our needs to updating our general plan, but will go a long way in getting us base information for adaptation to sea level rise and the associated hazards with sea level rise, update land use information that is quite adjacent to that, to the ocean, and also look at updating our environmental sensitive habitat areas. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to my fellow staff members to continue on.
Well, I think that was a pretty thorough introduction, but what
We have before you tonight is a resolution authorizing the city staff to submit this grant application for grant funds for the Local Coastal Program Sea Level Rise Adaptation Grant. In the staff report, we've also combined the City Council's request for us to have a timeline or a working program for the General Plan LCP update. So we're anticipating that we're going to start getting this base information. We're going to have this as an outline and a foundation for our working program and our ad hoc groups and our workshops and things of that nature. It's very important that staff keep the vertical consistency in that framework kind of tight, so we end up with a document that meets, you know, state requirements, meets what the Coastal Commission's going to want from us, and also is addressing this new science that's come up for us. So I think that this is a good way to start off, and we continue to look for other grant opportunities, including the Strategic Growth Council grant, which is a much larger grant opportunity. But with that, I think we've done a fairly good job of detailing out as it's kind of unfolding at this point. But like I said, we have a completely different working relationship with Coastal Commission now. We anticipate that we will be working hand in hand. They are one of the agencies giving this grant out. So they're going to be right in on these first steps of knowing how we're approaching and the methodology behind our update. So with that, I think that the staff report is really self-explanatory, and I'm open for any questions. Okay, and I just think that we continue to look for opportunities where they present themselves, and we appreciate the council's consideration of this grant opportunity and the information that's provided within. Yes, sorry.
I just want to add something more to our ongoing conversation with Coastal Commission staff. Based on a conversation that the mayor had with Deputy Director Dan Carl a while ago, that prompted me to give him a call today and talk a little bit more about how we might coordinate the General Plan LCP update. And he indicated, I think, to the mayor also that we could use the Monterey County as an example where Coastal Commission staff set up committed to meet on a regular basis with the Monterey County staff to not write the LCP by committee, but to review what had been modified and written and give comment and feedback back on a timely basis, move through stepwise, section by section. And Dan committed to also provide that support to the city of Morro Bay, at least verbally. Have faith in Mr. Carl's commitments that he standbys those commitments, doesn't take them lightly, and would very much like to take him up on that offer of working closely with their staff. And we're looking forward to moving forward, submitting this grant application by Monday, and we've attached the what we think is a pretty close to a final draft grant application for our council to look at, and we would appreciate any comments or recommendations in our work scope that we have proposed. Thank you.
Thanks for your report. Any questions for staff? To my left, George.
No questions.
Christine.
Just a quick question. I apologize for not getting this to you prior to today. On page 4, you mentioned the general plan subcommittee. I just wonder if you could remind us and inform the public. You don't have to tell us specific names, but in general, the folks who are on that.
It was staffed by, or not staffed, it was two council people and two planning commissioners on that. We would probably, as we move forward, need to resurrect that committee, because I don't believe all the same people are still in their same roles as they were when we last visited that. So we would bring that forward to council to reactivate that committee.
Okay, thank you.
Nancy? Noah?
Just a quick question regarding the sea level rise scenarios. in the budget for the $85,000. One of the things I want to get a little more detail about was that there are some existing scenarios that have been developed, and how does that $85,000 or the plan recognize some of the foundational work that's already been done, and make sure that we're utilizing that as much as possible. It sounds like with the involvement of the Coastal Commission and their help and assistance, we're going to be really strong with our methodology and those items. But I just wanted to get a little more detail on that.
The $85,000 came from the consultant that we're getting assistance preparing this, their estimates on previous work. And what that does is it takes and builds upon the work that's already been performed. There are some RFP for these additional studies, and we'll be refining the scope for those additional studies, and including, we don't want to have to repeat work that's already been done. That's just a waste of the people's money to do that. So we'll be utilizing all the existing science that exists and building upon that. The NEP work did a good job of looking at sedimentation and the impacts of sea level rise to the bay, but we have a large area of the city that's north of the bay, that coastal frontal lands that will need to be addressed through these studies also. Hopefully I wasn't too long-winded on that.
No, that was good. Thanks for answering my question. And I really like that you have, with the Technical Advisory Committee, that you have groups like the NEP sitting there to help make sure that we're taking advantage of all these opportunities. And is Coastal actually committing to assist with some peer review for this application? It sounds like they're already doing that to a certain degree. But
well, the application has a fairly tight timeline. It's due on Monday, so I don't think there will be an opportunity for them to review the application. Plus, they're one of the funding agencies. They might have a difficult time telling us what we should put in it to get their money. We are working with PMC, a consultant that has experience in preparing these applications that has had success in the past. And they have committed to us that even though they helped us with our Strategic Growth Council and was unsuccessful, that they are doing their utmost best on this and have upped their game as far as internal QC and reviewing the information. I don't think you see in the grant application, I think it's very professionally done, and it addresses all the points that the three agencies are looking for in the applications.
Okay. And just my last question would be whether or not we're funded going forward, there's obviously going to be some need to find additional funds and so on. You have some ideas about that. Would you see some potential to try to utilize Cal Poly as much as possible and as much as makes sense to leverage their resources to help us move forward on this with funding or without?
Yes, we would. As you know, we met with one of the adjunct professors there, Ken Topping, and he was interested, although the timing of this particular grant didn't meet his timeline, but he seemed to express a willingness to work with us and, you know, at least look over our shoulders. We do use Cal Poly currently. We use interns from Cal Poly that have experience with the coursework from those professors in, for example, updating some mapping that we're doing. So we take advantage of that that local labor pool for a very reasonable cost as much as possible. And then also, as I was talking with Mr. Carl, is, you know, there is potential for not receiving grant funds. And we talked about that, you know, you say this all the time with different things, that you have to start to finish. Until we start working on a general plan, we're never going to finish it. And whether we do that with local funds or with grant funding, I'll just leave it at that. We have to start to finish.
Thank you.
And, I'll save my questions and just for discussion. So with that, thanks for the report, and I'll open up for public comment at this time. We only have two people out there. I'm not seeing any takers. And so seeing that, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. And I'll start with a couple comments. First, I just wanted to thank you for the Coastal Commission statement. And I think having that public, I think, gets it out there. And I think that will encourage Mr. Carl to help us on that monthly basis that we were hoping that we get. So thanks for that. The other one is the subcommittee. And as far as tonight goes, we want to get this out and move forward with getting the grant application through and it's submitted by Monday. So it's not like we need to be reworking this plan too much. But as far as the advisory board and the subcommittee, I would like to actually have us come back to council with a discussion of a subcommittee that basically the council will just advertise for just the same way conceptually. I hopefully get agreement on this, that we get a board no different than we did with the 2020 committee that we had, or as an advisory body. Any other discussion, George?
Sea rise level. Horse bucky. 75 years, I ain't seen no sea level. And they're telling me in the next few years I'm going to see 66 inches, you know. There's also global warming, too. I don't know. If I want to get the money, get the money.
Christine?
Okay, three quick things. One, I'm pleased to see that we're pursuing all grant opportunities. It's something that we hear often in the community. The public wants to know, is the city aggressively pursuing grants? So this is one example of yes. Two, I'm pleased to see the close collaboration with the Coastal Commission. I know it's not easy to do that for many reasons, and I really appreciate that, and I think the community would also feel that way. And then the third is I'm pleased to see that the work program for the GP LCP update in this item as well, because it is, and I couldn't find it in the staff report, so I apologize if I missed it, but this is our major city goal number three. And just by moving this forward tonight, you're working on key task A and key task F under our major city goal number three. So just want to comment on that and point that out and appreciate that. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Christine. Nancy?
Well, based on what I've heard, I move we adopt Resolution 39-13 authorizing a $250,000 grant application.
Second.
We've got a motion by Johnson and a second by Mr.
I don't
Smuckler.
Give up my opportunity to comment very
okay.
frequently, but I will.
So with that, I will hesitantly ask for discussion on this item. Looking left and looking right, seeing no discussion, we'll put it to a vote. All in favor? Aye. Against? None. Motion carries. Thanks very much for the report. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate that. Moving on to... Thanks for sticking around. Let's see. We are on to item D2. This subject isn't quite as long as the last one, so I'll just start reading it. Water Reclamation Facility Project Status and Discussion. So I'm looking at Ms. Luker and maybe Mr. Livick.
No, I'm not going to let Rob talk on this item. It's all going to be me tonight. This is a status update, a monthly report that we provide to you to give you an idea of where we are and where the city is with the new water reclamation facility. As we've done in past months, we've bolded the items that have occurred since your last meeting, and probably the most important was the kickoff meeting that we had with John Rickenbach and the team members regarding the project. We've had a JPA meeting. We've got a tentative schedule that we've included in your staff report. And we're also, at the time of writing, we were working with the Coastal Commission staff to finalize a date for our quarterly meeting, and we have finalized that, and that's sometime next week. I believe it's Thursday. We've also indicated on this staff report a couple of future items that we have calendared tentatively, and I would indicate just briefly those are the stakeholder interviews that we're working on with the John Rickenbach team to happen on the 24th and the 25th of July. We've also tentatively scheduled the first public workshop for August 6th, and I believe we'll have some discussion about that this evening. And then tentatively scheduled a workshop for the biosolids and treatment options in August.
second public workshop in October, and then presentation of an options report tentatively scheduled for October 23rd. With that, I'll draw your attention to the back of the staff report, where we've included a tentative schedule provided by John Rickenbach and his team about what we're doing and when we're doing it. And I think at that point, I'll turn it back over to City Council for any questions.
Thank you for that. Any questions to my left? Christine? None? Nancy? Noah? No, I think we missed some.
I saved my time.
Okay.
Quick question. We've had a chance to talk with staff a little bit about this, but looking at the schedule and seeing the first public workshop tentatively scheduled for August 6th, my thought and question was, is there a possibility we could schedule that for the week following, which is just after the next city council meeting, which is at the end of our recess, therefore perhaps getting it more public participation, knowing that the council will have a chance to announce this again at a meeting. We'll be all here. We'll be active in getting people out to the meeting and so forth.
Good point. Nancy wants to make a comment on that.
I do. If we move it to, what is it, the 13th?
Well, the council meeting is the 13th. In conversation with staff, we were talking about the 15th being available for our consultant team and just needing to do some restructuring with the PWAB meeting that day.
15th of August. That's good, because if you do it the 6th, I won't be here.
Exactly.
I'm still on recess.
Yeah.
Good time to have a meeting, because I'll be gone.
Good, George.
I got to go up there and prove I can throw a football through a brick wall.
Schedule that maybe for a special meeting or for the following month, because that's a normal PWAB day. But staff will be available on the 15th, so it's definitely a possibility if the council wants to go that direction.
So, George, you said you wouldn't be here on the 15th,
no.
But you're not going to be here on the 6th either?
No.
Okay.
I said when you moved it, you moved it to a date that I already made plans to go. I got to go.
Christine?
I would support moving it to the 15th of August, very strongly.
Nancy, would you be here the 6th but not the 15th? Is that the way it is, or are you not going to be here for either one?
I will be here the 15th, not the 6th.
Okay. So, as it turns out, it would be more advantageous. We would have more of the council members here on the 15th than the 6th. So if we were to
you're going to be missing one on the 6th and one on the 15th.
Two on the 6th.
Are you going to be gone on the 6th?
No, the Johnsons are gone on the 6th.
Yeah.
Who's not going to be here?
Johnson and Johnson.
Or Johnson and Johnson.
Yeah.
And I would submit, too, maybe we should open it to public comment, but that giving us just a little more time following a council meeting, we can ramp up our outreach efforts that much more and just ensure that we are going to have good participation in that workshop.
I think he brings up a good point, and I know we're limited in our attendance tonight, but we should at least go through opening up for public comment for those who are here. If anybody would like to speak on this item? Okay, thanks for that. We'll close it and bring it back. Christine?
I would just like to be clear that when the date was first scheduled for August 6th, we will be recording it with AGP. So that isn't the reason for me. I have a family event that I can't change. What makes it better for me, for my opinion, for the city on the 15th, is that we will have the council meeting we'll have that council meeting on the 13th, and we are back in full session. And then I also do feel that by August 15th, a lot of our residents' summer plans have winded down, whether they're grandparents visiting families who may have children out of school. Mm. Our own school will go back August 22nd. I feel as though it might be a little bit better for us on the 15th. But if it is that it is on the 6th, then it is on the 6th.
George?
Can we move it to a later date besides the 15th? I mean, she's talking about the, you know, this is the end of the summer, right? I mean, there's still going to be people on vacation around.
Sure.
So I think we should shoot for something in September. So.
Mm. Ms. Luker?
Certainly I can answer that. And we can, as I had said before, we can change it to any date the council is interested in. Our concern a little bit with, you know, our concern with moving it to the to 15th is that as we move down, I'm not saying this will cause a delay of the final project, but it could. And my concern is it's only a week. But if we moved farther than a week, I think then we're pushing out. And we've currently got our options to council on in October 23rd. And I think we can hold tight with that date. But if we move another couple of weeks, I would fear that we would move past that date into the November. And then our December deadline gets squishy.
Thanks for that. It's always a hard one. You know, we put the schedule forward. It's always a tough one, maybe even more so just for timing, obtaining our consultant, having a tight timeline, and our consultant wanting to, you know, to achieve what they're tasked with. Having said that, I think Ms. Luker's comments about pushing things out, you know, I'm thinking the same thing. You start getting sensitive about whether or not how far we're going to push it out and how it condenses things. At this point, I think we've got the majority of the people that would be here on the 15th. So if we were to move it at all, I would be in favor of that. I understand, George, you wouldn't be here, but it seems like we would have more of our council here on the 15th than we would on the 6th, and perhaps, you know, we would have more people coming back from the summer vacation. So just one more question for you, Ms. Luker, on this. It sounds like you did get enough heads up from NOAA on this to consult with our consultant, and the flexibility on making that work, we're going to be okay on that?
Yes, Mr. Lavick was successful in talking to Debbie Rudd, and she indicated that she believed that the other members of the team would also be available, but she is available, and she is the outreach person in particular. So
okay.
I think we are good. We don't have a 100% verbal from everybody, but it looks like we're good.
Okay. Well, with that, I guess I would agree that if we can move to August 15th, that might be more suitable for...
About outreach?
Yes. I just want to point out that we will be advertising this not in the legal notice section, but in as a small ad in the paper so that... because I know how popular the legal notices are to read, find out about these meetings. So once that notice gets available, we'll be posting that on our website and emailing that everybody that's on our Notify Me for the Water Reclamation Facility, and we will be emailing all of our board members that. I did have another thought. What's that? I don't know if we can meet the water bill timing on that, so it would be probably highly unlikely that it's going to work out right for the water bill.
Okay. Thank you for that. With that, we'll close item D2, our water reclamation facility update, and move down to council declaration of future agenda items, and I guess I'll start with the agenda item that I discussed earlier, and that would be to bring back for discussion for council a subcommittee / advisory board for our general plan, a local coastal plan update for discussion and formation of what that would look like. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. I have support left, support right. Thank you. Thanks for that. Any other future agenda items?
I have two. One is a discussion about options to reduce the use of unpermitted and legal fireworks within the city limits for the next 4th of July 2014 period.
By that, do you mean safe and sound? What are they called? Safe and sane, or safe and sound, or is that what you mean?
That it would mostly be working with Chief Christie, I think, just about how we could better manage the use of or reduce the use of illegal fireworks within the city limits. Right. She might have some options. It's worth talking about. We've received some emails and so on.
Yes, I agree.
Looks like we have consensus for that.
Okay, thank you. The other is to evaluate options for Moro Transit weekend coverage during the winter months following the end of the trolley season. And in talking with staff, the idea would be to bring up this as a discussion at the PWAB level as well as a rider survey to see if one-day winter weekend coverage would be worthwhile and utilized, and then the discussion at PWAB about some options for costs and how that adjustment could work, and then bringing that back to council with recommendations.
I would support that. Anybody else? We have support. We have support for that one as well.
Okay, that's it for me.
Okay, Nancy? George?
No.
Christine? Seeing none.
Parents,
yes.
I hate to do this because you're all ready to go, but clarification just on Councilmember Smuckler's first item on the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for I want to make sure that we're going to meet the council's needs.
Thanks.
Are you looking for what I would propose is for the chief in conjunction with perhaps the fire, both chiefs, Chief A and B, to bring back a report of the calls we had, kind of a status of what happened this fireworks, and go from there? Is that what you're looking for? And what currently is legal in Morro Bay, the ordinance that we currently have, safe and sane on private property, those sorts of things as a start?
I think that's a great start. Okay. If they had some preliminary suggestions about ways to reduce the illegal fireworks, that'd be a nice conversational kickoff.
Gotcha. All right, that's helpful. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that. Okay. Thanks for the clarification on that. With that, we'll adjourn tonight's meeting. Thanks for everybody, and good night.
All right. 8:45.